You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. The discussion is raging. It is hotter than hell in the West Bank this evening. A satanic mob of fire-wielding gangsters from the den of thieves that they call the Ariel Settlement is rampaging through the surrounding villages, telling people to flee or burn to death like baby Ali Dawabshi. The same baby Ali that was being celebrated by dancers and chanters and fanatic extremists of whom Satan himself would be proud at a wedding in occupied Palestine over the weekend. And a celebration so gross, so satanic, that even Netanyahu himself had to denounce it. Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, is tonight under siege. Mary and Joseph would not have been able to reach it. They wouldn't have been able to get through the checkpoints, to get through the apartheid wall. That's what we're discussing tonight. And Adam, a very holy name, is in London and wants to talk about it. Adam, go ahead.
Thank you very much, George. It's been a very long time ever since I...
Very nice to hear you again.
Thank you very much. I think Mary and Joseph would have run away to somewhere like Israel if it were to be today that Jesus was going to be born, because they wouldn't have even gone through the police barrier, let alone the trenches being built by the settlers, the thieves, the land grabbers. A Roman Catholic priest in Bethlehem did have a very wonderful report on ABC that what is happening in Bethlehem is a land grabbing. The Israeli are stealing the Palestinian land. You asked a wonderful question that why is it that all the Western world, the so-called Christians, are not talking about what is happening in Israel?
It's a genuine mystery to me, Adam. You know, yep. I've been in this cause for more than 40 years, nearly 45. I've been in this cause, therefore, almost all my life. And I honestly don't know the answer to that question that you have just posed. Why?
George, the answer is you, Ken Livingstone, and now the leader of the Labour Party, somebody that democratically, the biggest democracy ever happened in Labour Party. Look at what the press is doing. If you are on the right way and you want to stand up to the Zionist, not Judaism, if you want to stand up to the Zionist, the injustice being perpetrated by the Zionist society or the community, you'll be labeled as evil. You believe us evil. So we, those in the press that are forward thinkers, that we need people of Palestine to be liberated. We want the Jews and the Muslims, the Palestinian Arabs, to live alongside peacefully. We are not known by the press. Immediately you started, they said, look, this is an evil man who doesn't want the existence of Israel. Ahmadinejad never wanted to say that I want Israel to be wiped out. But look at the way they labeled Ahmadinejad. Now, the Saudis are the friends of the Israelis. When they are seeing their brothers, Arabs, being killed, their lands being taken away from them, their lives being taken away from them, they were being, everything that they were doing, the Saudis would never, ever speak against what the Israelis are doing there. Look at what is happening in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, because the agenda is said that they want to build a temple, their temple over there, they want everything to do with minimizing or even muscling out the Muslims who have the status quo. The status quo is there for the Muslims to be there. But they want the extremist Jewish tourists to come in freely, walk in there, walk where the Muslims are supposed to play, do everything, and then let the Muslim not do it. So I don't understand why we are sitting on concern. Not that we are sitting on
concern. Of course, everything you say is absolutely right, Adam, and it's wonderful to hear your voice again. But with respect, your answer doesn't quite do it for me. You see, Sky News is owned by an American Catholic called Rupert Murdoch, and his co-owner is a Saudi prince who is a Muslim. The BBC is run by a board of governors appointed by the British government. The British government is elected by the British people. The Independent newspaper is owned by a Russian Christian. The Guardian newspaper is owned by a trust of Christians. The Daily Mail is owned by English Christians. I could go on. I don't understand why they are all of them, so utterly blind and insensitive to what's happening. I don't understand why none of them will be reporting what I've been reporting to you tonight, that I found out myself on the telephone. I don't understand it. Rafiq is in the UK. Maybe he can help us. Rafiq, welcome.
George, I've been listening to you for very long. All the time I've been listening to conversations and comments and things like that. Mm-hmm. But my heart bleeds about platinum and everything, wherever. This is nothing. The main thing you need to do is stop Israel going any further, because I think Israel's after to wipe off the whole Palestinian land and take over. Look at, because of Israel, Syria's in trouble, Yemen is trouble, just to get the security for Israel. And America is the one who's a supporter, so somebody must do that, something about that. All these things happening in this world, why does it have to be? I know it's a greed of oil, we know that, but it doesn't have to go that far. There's some innocent people dying. Look at in France, when somebody died, so many people, I feel sorry for them. But also they are dying as well. We feel sorry for those people.
Well, of course, you're correct. The blood of some people is regarded as more valuable than the blood of others. That much is self-evident, a self-evident truth. But the Palestinian people, you see, are a fundamental nuisance. They are a fundamental block. The Zionist case that was advanced and became hegemonic was that they were a people without a land, and that Palestine was a land without people. Now, of course, Palestine was a land full of people, only some of whom were able to be driven from the land by the pogroms in 1948. Some 800,000 Palestinians were driven out of the country as refugees by Zionist terror gangs. That 800,000 has now become many millions of people whose homes and land are still there, and to which they have an inalienable, internationally recognized legal right to return. But the rest, who've of course grown in their population, now to millions, almost 2 million in Gaza, almost 4 million in the West Bank, and the Zionist dream cannot properly be exercised whilst they are an inconvenient fact. And so these settlers are only doing the logical extension of Zionism and its ideal itself. They're saying, if we are going to safely live on this stolen land, we have to drive the people we've stolen it from as far as possible away from us or kill them. And they're right about that. If anyone, God forbid, Rafiq, stole your house or my house and drove us as refugees to live in a tent or a shack in the local park We would never give up our house that they had stolen. They would never be safe whilst they lived in our house and we lived in that shack. Apart from anything else, even if we had no means of fighting them, the very sight of us would be a standing, lasting, everlasting reproach to the thieves that had stolen our property. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do.
Rafiq, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. We're talking about Palestine, where an emergency, a state of emergency, exists this evening. Khaled is also in the UK. Let's hear from him.
Greeting, George. Greeting to all my brothers and sisters around the world.
Thank you, Khaled. Go ahead.
George, I think to understand the problem, we need to understand some historical facts, okay? And the same people who created Israel, those the same people who put the Saudi family and draw the map of the Middle East. This is one thing we have to understand. The Zionists, when they controlled the stock market after Waterloo in England, then the empire went across the world and ruled all the world. Then they gave the Balfour Declaration. That was a problem. Then the second problem, when the power was shifted from the United Kingdom or the British Empire to the American side of the Zionism. Since then, the same people were ruling everywhere. Now, we ended up with a situation where 99% of the people are ruled by 1%. This 1% is ruling and controlling the politicians around the world and the media. If you read one of their books, which is the Protocols of the Elders of Zion...
I'll need to stop you there, Khaled. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion is an anti-Semitic hoax, as is the first statement that you made, that Zionists controlled the stock exchange from the Battle of Waterloo. First of all, the Battle of Waterloo was in 1815, and Zionism did not exist in 1815. And nobody controls the stock exchange. Capitalism, capitalists control the stock exchange. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion is a hoax, a forgery, written by anti-Semitic people who carried out the same kind of pogroms against Jews as these gangsters who call themselves Jews are carrying out this evening in Salfit. So I have to stop you because I can't tolerate anti-Semitism on my show any more than I could tolerate Islamophobia or racial or religious hatred against any group. Now we're talking about him and him and him and him. They are real people. They don't own British newspapers. Neither do they control the stock exchange. Neither do they control the banks or all the other anti-Semitic tropes and conspiracy theories that are out there. They control him for political reasons. He allows himself to follow a policy decided and dictated by him. Now that's a big problem for us, not least because it puts the responsibility back on us, not on some banker hidden under a bush or a hedge somewhere. Why are we allowing our government to dictate, to be dictated to by this killer, Netanyahu, who's the prime minister of a country of just 7 million people? Why is he the foreign secretary of the most powerful country in the world, and him the president of the most powerful country in the world, unable to deal with him, even though they hate him? President Obama was caught on tape telling us what he really thinks of him. So the responsibility is ours. There is no point, even if there was no morality involved. There is no point in blaming Jews. There's no point in blaming supporters of Israel. We have to blame ourselves. Where are the Arabs? Ain al-Arab. Where are the Arab leaders? I'll tell you where they are. They're killing other Arabs in Yemen. They're killing other Arabs in Syria. They're killing other Arabs in Iraq. That's where they are. Where are all these Arab armies that could be coming to the rescue of the villagers this evening? I'll tell you where they are. They're tearing up and destroying the ancient Arab civilization of Syria, besieging Damascus with their black flagged acolytes who want to establish a year zero more terrible than Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge did. They're in Yemen bombing the poorest Arab country day after day after day, killing thousands of people for reasons that nobody can understand and which defy all logic. That's where the Arabs are. So don't look for people to blame. The A, don't exist, and B, even if they existed, could not stand up against the 350 million Arabs from the Atlantic to the Persian Gulf, the 1.75 billion Muslims in the world. It's us that is to be blamed. Rahman is in South Africa. Always worth hearing. Go ahead, Rahman.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam. Nice to hear from you.
You have hit the nail on the head. These pagan Arabs, unfortunately, they must take blame for what is happening to them. They are the ones that opposed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not because he was an Arab, but because he came to introduce peace to the world. All these Muslim countries, so-called Muslim countries, they must take blame as well, because they have given these Zionists, whether they are Christian or Jews, a license to do what they are doing. And like you said, they've added to the misery of these pagan Arabs. Where's Malaysia? Where's Pakistan? Where's Turkey? Where's Morocco? Where's all these so-called countries? They don't even raise a voice, never mind donating a bullet for this defenseless Palestinian. And another thing that these backward Muslims and Arabs must know, that this fight and this battle is not a religious battle. It is to do with politics, power struggle, and a humanitarian disaster. It's got nothing to do with religion, because the Jews are neither proper Jews and the Muslims are neither proper Muslims. These so-called Muslims also, when they commit crime and atrocities, they use the Quran as a slogan, they use the Kalima as a slogan, where they murder innocent women and children, then they cry out, God is great. How can God be great when they commit murder in his name? So these Muslims and these pagan Arabs, they must wake up, and they must come to realization, and they must try to read the Quran with an open heart and an open mind. As long as they're not going to do that, they're going to pay the price for as long as they remain in darkness. Thank you, Brother George.
Thank you, Rahman. Powerful, powerful words, as always. All of us can find words. Some of us can express them more powerfully and to a wider audience than others. But the words just somehow for me this evening don't seem to be enough. The Oslo Agreement is 25 years ago. Area C, where this pogrom is happening right now, was supposed to be transferred to Palestinian control decades ago. Everyone has ignored the fact that decade after decade after decade after decade, the Palestinian people have lived under illegal, criminal, violent military occupation at the hands of white settlers. Rahman is in South Africa. He knows what I'm talking about. When the Boers came to settle Southern Africa, they didn't actually want to kill the blacks. They didn't want to drive the blacks away. On the contrary, they wanted their labor. They wanted them as customers. Zionism is worse than apartheid, because it requires, it literally requires the destruction, dispersal, or the demise, take your pick, of the indigenous population whose land and houses they have stolen. It doesn't get much more serious than that. Hans is in Germany. Let's hear from him. Go ahead, Hans.
Hello, good evening, George.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much, sir, but I'm a bit angry tonight.
Yes, I can see, yes. But I mean, almost everything is said, more or less, but from my point of view, you know, as a German, it's a little bit, you know, sometimes you hesitate in criticizing, but, you know, but now it seems since long time that, you know, that it's now the other way around. When the Germans with the Einsatzgruppen behind the front line in Russia, Poland, killed the Jews in camps and etc. on the spot. Now it's in a way, I mean, maybe you cannot compare it. Sometimes comparison is limping, but now, of course, like you said, they have to eliminate all the Palestinians from the territory because they will never give up, which I understand fully. They will never give up their land. Why should they? No, this is an illegal occupation of Palestinian, you know. And so I have the impression that these fanatic settlers, or you call them, they are, this is Netanyahu's Einsatzgruppe, you know, and they have free hand.
Yes, they are.
And the Western media is here. If you, I mean, thank God you can watch press TV. The Western media, they
absolutely they silent about it. Absolutely silent. And when they deign to report it, they report it through the side of the telescope belonging to the criminals, belonging to the occupiers. You've made a powerful point, Hans, and I understand as a German how difficult it is. These ugly fanatics, armed to the teeth in these so-called settlements, have been and are killing at will. They can burn a baby asleep in its bed and nothing will happen to them. And the reason for that is that the more respectable Zionists, if any of them can be so described, can distance themselves from it. But they cannot any more than the Nazi leadership could distance itself from the actions of its stormtroopers. It's been an emotional discussion this evening. You can continue it on Twitter at @comment_PressTV. God willing, I'll be back here next week for the last edition of 2015.
Just make sure your volume's set to zero.
Zero, zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through this phone number and then we'll be back.